This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. It's my pleasure to welcome back Georgia Congressman Tom Price, Republican from the Peach State's 6th Congressional District. He's a longtime physician, and now he's a member of the House Republican leadership as Policy Committee Chairman. We want to talk about some of the amendments that he's trying to get passed as part of this continuing resolution for the rest of the current fiscal year, as well as just how this process for this debate is much different than what we've seen in recent debates. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thank you so much. It's always good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Well, let's start real briefly just on the fact that there really is just a litany of amendments here, and obviously that takes some time, but it really marks a change in how the rules for these types of debates have been in recent Congresses, including ones run by Republicans a few years back. Explain what's going on and why that's important.
Boy, it really does. And it I think it's a welcome sight for the American people. It certainly is for those of us who are working our best to represent our constituents, and that is that this current process, the continuing resolution process, that's there's a bill that's been brought to the floor to try to fund the government for the remainder of this fiscal year through the end of September, and it's coming under what's called an open rule, which means that any member can go to the floor and offer an amendment to either remove something from the bill or to decrease funding in the bill or move monies around to different priorities. So this is we didn't have any open rules on bills in the last 4 years, and before then they were oftentimes very structured. So this is just an open process that I think is going to result in a much better work product.
And for those who might think that the other side, whether regardless of which party's in the majority, could use this as a delaying tactic, is there some definite conclusion to the debate, or could it go on for quite a while here?
Oh, no, this may go on for quite a while, and part of it's delaying, but most of it, I think, is a sincere effort on both sides, frankly, to get their best issues forward. We believe strongly that the federal government spends too much money, that we need to get the fiscal house in order. I think that's what a lot of the election was about in November. The 87 new freshmen that were sent here to Washington on our side of the aisle firmly believe that we ought not be spending this much money at the federal level. We ought to spend within our means. We ought not be spending more than the federal government takes in. And consequently, there are wonderful ways to decrease the spending at the federal level to provide those savings for the American people.
Well, let's talk about three of the amendments that you are offering, one of which has already been voted on and got quite a bit of attention in the last few hours, and that was your call to defund the National Labor Relations Board. Explain why you wanted that done.
Well, I think that most folks understand and appreciate that the National Labor Relations Board, which provides in many instances an appropriate venue for disputes between employers and employees, but it's become so politicized that it is now no longer worthy of funding by the taxpayer. Right now we have a gentleman, Mr. Becker, who has been appointed by the president in a recess appointment, not confirmed by the Senate, to head up the National Labor Relations Board, and he has said that one of his main priorities is to pass or to put into the rule, not having it pass through Congress, a card check, the national, what we call the Secret Ballot Destruction Act, which so favors the formation of unions in this country that it distorts the usual decision process by employees as to whether or not they want to be represented by a union. So I think in addition to spending too much money on areas that we ought not be spending on, it's time to prioritize and say, look, those areas that are acting in a very hyper-partisan manner, those are the kinds of things that the American people are just sick and tired of.
Going off on a small tangent, we're seeing an intensifying of the debate with unions. We see it right now in Wisconsin in a very visible way. We saw it in New Jersey as Governor Christie tried to wrestle with a major debt issue up there. As the fiscal debate gets more and more challenging and as money needs to be found and public sector employees seem to be an area where both sides potentially could find some money, how do you expect this all to play out?
Well, I think we need continued input from our constituents, and I think, again, that the American people are sick and tired of having their hard-earned taxpayer money used to favor one side or the other from a political standpoint. My sense is that unions have themselves have become, by and large, not all, but by and large, certainly the public employee unions have become very, very politicized, and they have engaged and waged battle with those of us on the conservative side of the aisle. And they've outlived their usefulness, and most of my constituents believe that that's the case, and they certainly believe that taxpayer monies ought not be utilized to prop them up.
Let's talk about a couple other amendments you have to this continuing resolution. And one of them is to defund the Consumer Financial Protection Agency. This was part of the whole Wall Street Financial Reform Bill, essentially designed to provide this bureau to give consumers all sorts of advice and tips on how to make wise investments and so forth. Explain why you're very concerned about that and why you want to eliminate the funding.
Well, this, as you mentioned, is part of the former Dodd-Frank financial services quote reform. But the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau would, in fact, significantly limit the ability of Americans all across this great land to enter into contracts that they want to determine what kind of credit opportunities they have, to determine whether or not they want to take out a loan for a home or for an automobile or something else without having the fingerprints and the oppression of the federal government involved in that very, very specific decision. So we and Elizabeth Warren, who's the chair of that, was appointed by the president to chair that. Again, is out of the reach of Congress. There's little, if any, oversight whatsoever. The bureau has been given the opportunity to write their own rules, to enforce their own rules, to conduct examinations, which can be oppressive to businesses across this land, to approve disclosures, and on and on and on and on and on. And there is no real congressional oversight that's possible because of the way that the law was written, the consumer financial law. So we believe that it's time to say, look, stop the madness. Washington has reached too far, and this is one way to do it.
And the third amendment that you're proposing, sir, is related to what's known as medical loss ratio. You might need to explain what that is and what exactly you're asking it to do.
Yeah, as a physician, and as you and I have talked many times, we believe strongly that patients ought to be in charge of their health care, that it ought not have inappropriate imposition into what kind of physicians can see patients, what kind of patients or what the patients, where they're going to be treated, how they're going to be treated, when they're going to be treated, and the like. And limiting what's called the medical loss ratio, which is a fancy insurance term for how much of the overall money is spent in the clinical setting, the providing care for the patient. The federal government is currently limiting the amount of money that can be spent in that arena, and that's just wrong. There's no reason for the federal government to be telling insurance companies or patients, for that matter, what kind of resources should and shouldn't be spent. That's a decision that if we provide appropriate authority and power to patients, then they'll be the ones that will appropriately direct it. The problem with it is that you've got the federal government deciding what qualifies as a clinical activity, and that's where you end up, that's where the rub comes, and those are the kinds of things that are destructive to the quality of health care.
We're talking with Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Price in our last 60 seconds here. Sir, you mentioned to me before we began our conversation that your first proposed amendment on the National Labor Relations Board was defeated. As this train of amendments comes through, are most of them being defeated, or is it kind of hit and miss?
It's remarkable. It really is hit and miss. I don't have the percentages yet. We've been going through literally tens of amendments, if not over 100 at this point, and it's been a wonderful process. It's a much more open, much more deliberative process, and I commend the Speaker Boehner and the leader Cantor for instituting this type of process that I think is being respected on both sides of the aisle.
I have actually seen some liberal Democrats not necessarily agreeing with the underlying legislation, but very appreciative of the chance to offer amendments to the extent that they are. Congressman, we'll be watching. Thanks very much for being with us, as always.
Thanks, Greg. Take care.
You too, sir. Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Price represents his state's 6th Congressional District, longtime physician. Now he's the policy chairman in the Republican House leadership. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.